Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Live in Los Angeles, this is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. What a pleasure. Jimmy Johnson, the Hall of Famer, joining us next hour, the Hall of Fame head coach. You know, everybody's, all worked up on Matt LaFleur going for the field goal. But there were reasons. I don't have to agree with it, but just think about this. Joy Taylor joining me. Green Bay had 3 timeouts and the 2-minute warning, so 4 clock stoppages. Their defense only allowed Tom Brady 19 first downs all day, had played very well in the second half, and Green Bay's red zone offense had mostly stunk. So he's thinking, just get points, which has become a trend in the NFL. Get points, get it back, give our guy. So if you look at the timeout situation, they would have gotten the ball back with 1:30 left. Well, I've seen Aaron a couple times in the last few years win those games. So you're at Lambeau, you're at home. So I don't have to agree with it. But Matt LaFleur is 26-6 before that game. If I'd have told you before the game, yeah, Bruce Arians is a better coach than Matt LaFleur, there's not a Packer fan on the planet that would have agreed with that. Now y'all think he's a bum. Now he's terrible. It's like if there would have been, let's say this. Let's say there was 2:58 to go. Then you think to yourself, oh, God, you'll get the back ball with 2 minutes. Because I got 3 timeouts. Let's say, if you don't like that, what if there's 3:09 to go? I don't think it's I think the time freaks everybody out. It did me. I'm like, no, don't do that too. But if it would have been 3:30, 3:39, I would have understood it. Now, my theory has always been, who's the best player on your team? Aaron Rodgers. Just give him the ball to win. So that's my theory is you have to ask your coach in the game, who are my 2-3 best? I would argue there are 2 best players are Aaron Rodgers, Davante Adams.
Yeah.
So I would have gone with those. And their center, you could argue, he's a Pro Bowler. Maybe their 3 best players are on offense.
I think during the regular season, that's how you coach. That's what you do. But in those moments, like you've got to go for it. If you don't get it, then your defense is in a better situation.
Yes, that's a very good point. If you don't get it, and this is why I would have gone for it. My takeaway would have been, listen, it's Aaron. My 2 best players are on offense. Maybe my 3 best players. We've struggled here, but I'm going to go for it. I'm going to put the ball in Aaron's hands. The second thing to your point is, if you don't make it, well, Tampa's pinned deep.
Yeah.
And your defense is playing great. So you're going to get the ball back. Now, you're probably going to get the ball back with 1:30. With much better field position.
Right, and that's still plenty of time for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, so that to me is just as important as the go for it, is that you would get the ball back in better field position.
The 2 biggest plays or moments in that game that stick out to me are that decision to the field goal, and then Aaron Rodgers not running.
Yeah.
I don't know if he would have even made it. When I picture him running, like if he was fast enough to get there, but like the second of hesitation, I was like, oh, he's going to run it.
Also,
he really didn't run that in.
Even if you kick the field goal, Tampa twice had very good field goal, very good kickoff returns. So twice in the games, Minkins had very good. So let's say you kick the field goal, you kick it to Tampa, and Tampa gets to the 38-yard line.
Yeah.
Okay, then you're buried again. So I thought it was the wrong call, but I don't like to just, games don't come down to play calling. That game, 3 Brady picks, second half. Twice Green Bay went 3 and out. To me, and after that, it was just all field goals. That was the game. You got to do stuff with that. All right, here we go. Colin Wright, Colin Wrong, brought to you by Mike Subs. Tired of cooking at home? Change it up. Just order Mike Subs, Jersey Mike's, through their app. No contact delivery, no contact at door pickup. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. Here we go.
Where Colin was right.
Years ago, when everybody started saying, Aaron Rodgers is the real GOAT, not Brady, my takeaway was, there's more than just throwing a pretty football. Brady's a better leader. Brady plays better from behind. Brady's better at the line of scrimmage. Brady is more coachable. Aaron's had family members take shots at him. Brady's ex-teammates still love him. There is more to football than being cool and throwing a great ball. Being a quarterback is about leadership, relatability, how are you as a teammate. It's never been close. Tom is the best football player in the history of the National Football League. Aaron is just super talented.
Where Colin was wrong.
You know what? I was a sucker. I bought into the Packers. Once they beat the Tennessee Titans in week 16, I was in. I kept saying, I know they're front runners. I know they're finesse. But if they could beat Tennessee in a physical football game, then I'm in. They did. But yesterday, they did something that I've seen too many times with Aaron Rodgers. When they fall behind in big games, they are not the same team. They've got a front runner DNA. They are a baller with a lead and a Baylor trailing. And yesterday, I thought they got tight.
Where Colin was right?
Oh, for about 10 years, I defended Andy Reid in Philadelphia. And I said, he's the Belichick of the NFC in Philadelphia. He bailed on the running game before everybody else. And Andy Reid, in a world of young hipster coaches, is still the king. His play design, his ability to go for it, his ability to rally the troops. He is the one head coach. Bill Belichick has never been able to stop his offenses. Go ask Belichick. He doesn't have a system. His system is, what's my personnel? Joey and I talk about this. Coaches have systems. Andy's like, what are my players? I'll build a new offense. He is great. He's been great for 20 years.
Where Colin was wrong.
Yeah, the Herd face bracket stunk this weekend. Bad weekend. So I do a face bracket where I just pick the playoffs based on who's the better quarterback in the moment. I had Josh Allen and Aaron Rodgers. So that's my fault. I picked somebody over Mahomes and somebody over Brady. I think we finished 8-4 in the year, but my stupid face bracket took a beating this weekend.
Where Colin was right.
Aaron Rodgers now 1-8 when trailing at half in the playoffs. He's not the same quarterback. Now, would I vote him for the Hall of Fame? Do I think he's great? But you can't tell me he got snippy yesterday in the red zone. He's barking it. It's like Aaron plays better with a lead. Mahomes, I think, plays better trailing. Brady, it doesn't matter. He always plays the same. But there is a difference between Aaron. His body language changes. He doesn't take as many shots downfield. I thought he was really hesitant in the red zone a couple of times. Run the football. You're a very, very good athlete. You're not a great athlete, but you're a very good athlete. 1-8 now, trailing at half in the playoffs.
Where Colin was wrong.
Boy, did I miss on this. I said Kansas City would win, but they'd settle for a bunch of field goals in the red zone. Yeah, they were 5 for 5, 5 touchdowns. Listen, since week 12, the Bills were the number one red zone defense. And since week 12, the Chiefs were the number 26 offense. So I said, I'm going to take Kansas City to win. But it's going to be kind of low scoring, and they're going to settle for field goals. They settled for none. I still can't get over 38-6 run against a defense that, you know, situationally had been the NFL's best since about Thanksgiving.
Where Colin was right.
Joy and I are big fans of being aggressive in big spots. Buffalo wasn't. Sean McDermott settled for field goal. End of the half. By the way, Kansas City down 9-0. 4th-and-1. Could have kicked a field goal. They went for it. Bruce Arians. End of the half. Tom Brady. Let's go for it. Green Bay. Let's kick field goals. In big games, I think it helps the psychology of your team. Go for it. Trust your players. There's no tomorrow. And I thought Buffalo, I know it's called chasing points, but with Kansas City, you got to chase points because they're scoring on you. And I thought Buffalo and Green Bay were the tighter teams that were a little less aggressive.
Where Colin was wrong.
Listen, I picked Kansas City yesterday, but I had Buffalo as the number one team over Kansas City. And they were the one team this weekend that just unraveled. Listen, it's a big spot. That's a tough place to play, but they struggled stopping the Colts. They gave up almost 480 yards to the Colts. They struggled with the Ravens. Their offense dried up yesterday, wasn't great against the Ravens, was not great against the Colts. And I thought their offense was the strength of their team. But boy, that secondary for Kansas City yesterday shut it down. I mean, shut their receiving core down.
Where Colin was right.
Well, anytime Dan Campbell's name's been mentioned the last several years, I roll my eyes and laugh. He may be a great guy. He may be a tough guy. He may be a big guy, but he feels like a pro wrestler. He got mentioned as potentially the Lions head coach, and I said, this won't be great. And then the press conference happened, and it wasn't great.
And so this team's going to be built on, we're going to kick you in the teeth, all right? And when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off, all right? And we're going to stand up. And then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down, all right? And on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap, and we're going to get up. And then it's going to take three shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing, all right? That's going to be the mentality.
But you have bitten off everybody's kneecap, so you'll be thrown out of the game, and that won't be great.
Where Colin was wrong.
Well, I had Brian Daboll as the number one coaching candidate this offseason. He went to college or high school with the Chargers GM, and he didn't get the job. Eric Mangini calls him the hardest working coach he's ever met, didn't get a job. He's universally respected. Every source I have, he didn't get a job. He transformed Josh Allen. I mean, transformed him. He didn't get a job. I thought he'd be the first guy off the market. I thought Brian Daboll would be the first guy off the market. I was told this weekend by somebody who knows him well, he's a grinder. He's not a fast riser. He maybe doesn't have the personality, the look that some people are looking for, the Sean McVay kind of quality, the Brandon Staley. I thought this guy would last about 2 minutes and didn't get any of the jobs. Didn't get any of them. All right, Colin right, Colin wrong. Trent Dilfer's around the corner. Jimmy Johnson next hour. I'm not saying the Matt LaFleur was great. I really do believe this. If there would have been 309, not 209, three timeouts, 2 minute warning, you figure Tampa's going to be fairly conservative. My defense has three picks in the second half. You know, 309, you could talk me into it. 209, I didn't like it at all. And to Joey's point, even if you don't make it, Tampa's buried. They're going to get super conservative on play calling. You're going to get it back at the 50. Now, only with a chance to tie. Only with a chance to tie. But still, I think I would have gone for it. But there are arguments to be made. Everybody's, I try to stay away from play calling. You could have guys hurt. You could have matchups that don't work. And remember, Green Bay had struggled in the red zone. They had struggled in the red zone. And their defense in the second half played well against Brady. You were getting the ball back. All right, Trent Dilfer next.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Saturday, Caleb Plant, one of the best pound-for-pound fighters in boxing, puts his perfect record and super middleweight title on the line against Cable Truax Saturday at 8 Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app.
Well, he played for 15 years in the NFL, got a Super Bowl and a Pro Bowl. Now the Lipscomb Academy head football coach in Nashville, Tennessee. He's in his office already working on next year, and he's joining me live, Trent Dilfer, who is 5-1 in six career postseason games. Listen, I'm rough on Aaron Rodgers, but I've said this before, is it's, you know, that he's 7-8 in his last 15 playoff games. He gets all the credit for the 7 and never any heat for the 8. And I think, listen, his defense, when I watch that game, Trent, you pick off Tom Brady three times in the second half and you're at home. Boy, those are opportunities. And on two of those drives, they were 3 and out. They didn't do anything. And so, you know, listen, I don't have to love Matt LaFleur's play call. I get it. I don't have to love it. Let's start with that. The play call, Matt LaFleur, you coach, did it bother you? Could you analytically defend it? Where did you go with that play call?
Which play call are we referring to?
That's the one that Matt LaFleur late says, 2:09, I'm going to kick a field goal.
Got it. Yeah, I thought that was terrible. I mean, I think you give your quarterback another opportunity. You're down there. You're going to have to, you know, score a touchdown regardless. So I thought that they should have gone for it. You can go back to the third down play, though. We don't even have this discussion if Aaron Rodgers just runs. I mean, you know, everybody's talking about, kicking the field goal on fourth down. On third down, he had a clean jog in for a touchdown if he escapes right instead of throwing across his body. So that's when he watches film, he's going to have a sick feeling in his stomach. I thought overall they were too dependent on the pass. Going into this game, the thing that they needed to do to have their way with Tampa's defense was establish the run, be stubborn with the run, and really play action pass off of it. They immediately jumped into shotgun, 3-4 wide receiver sets, the old spread football that they did with McCarthy. And Tampa had a plan for it. Todd Bowles and Tampa's defense had an incredible plan. They were playing a double bracket, very close to the line of scrimmage, trading crossers off. Kind of had a really good plan for that spread pass game. What you can't do is if you condense sets, if you put extra tight ends in the game, if you're running the rock, you can't play that scheme. So Tampa kind of dictated terms defensively, and Green Bay accepted that instead of trying to dictate terms offensively.
You know, it's interesting, the psychology, Trent, and you would know this and I wouldn't, but Mahomes, there's a looseness when he trails. It's almost like he's like, oh, now I get to use all the plays because we need him. I thought Aaron, sometimes in Green Bay, he can get a little tight. His body language changes when he trails. Now, like Brady, to me, is always the same. I could never tell if Tom leads or trails. Tom's just, he's been in so many of these darn games, he just plays. But I do think there's something to, there's a joyfulness with Mahomes, and maybe it's naivete, that he just play, he doesn't care leading. And I do think sometimes Aaron, maybe he's a smart guy, he overthinks it. I mean, do you tell me, did you, when you were leading, when you were trailing, can that get in your head?
Yeah, and I don't like ever using myself when we're talking about Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. It's not apples for apples. But I agree with you on Mahomes. I think if any young quarterback, any coach that has influence over the quarterback wants to see a demeanor, wants to find a demeanor that they want their quarterback to play with, it'd be Mahomes. There is a joyfulness to his play. There is a he's relaxed. He's having fun.
Yeah.
Although he's very disciplined, although he's obviously a craftsman and a true pro, he still finds the joy in the competition, the joy in the challenge. He's not overwhelmed by it. He never seems burdened. There's times when some of these gray hairs just seem burdened by the responsibility. Their body language shows it. Their smirks to the sideline show it. Mahomes down 9-0. He's over there having fun with the offensive line and the skill guys, saying this is what we're built for. There's definitely a demeanor that Mahomes plays with that every young quarterback should look at. I think Josh Allen plays with the same demeanors a lot of these young guys do. I think they're just really having a great time playing football in the NFL, and the challenge isn't too big for them.
So I said this Super Bowl has a feel before the game, a little bit of the 2008 Super Bowl. So Kansas City is the Patriots, Moss, Welker, good defense, favored. I mean, literally knocking people out. Tampa Bay's got a little New York Giants feel. Eli and Brady, not real athletic, very, very disruptive defensive front, little bit more of a turbulent season. I do wonder, Trent, you got two good offensive linemen for the Chiefs out. They're two best. And this defensive front, JPP, Shaq Barrett, Vita Vea, could you see the Buccaneers' defensive front at least controlling parts of this game against Kansas City?
Absolutely, I could see that. I could see them making Mahomes have to be Superman instead of 6 to 8 times a game, you know, 15 to 25 in this game. I think the Chiefs have a real challenge to stay balanced because of those reasons. The Fisher loss is huge. Unfortunate to a great pro and a great player. But I mean, there's a lot of things schematically and matchup wise that favor the Bucs. Todd Bowles being one of them. Todd Bowles, the defensive coordinator for the Bucs, has always been one of the great coordinators in this league. And you give him 2 weeks to prepare, and you have that advantage in the front line with Pierre-Paul and Sue and Barrett. I can see a lot of creativity coming from Tampa's defense to create a lot of disruption. I think Kansas City's going to have to put Tyreek Hill on the perimeter outside to take advantage of that press coverage when those one-on-one matchups and breathe some air into Tampa's defense. Because when Tampa's not scared of the perimeter, the furthest outside receiver guys, they will bump and run them, and they will put the other nine in a box inside for the run and pass game. And Bowles is as good as anybody in football at creating those schemes. When he only has to rush four, it's even more dangerous. So I can see a lot of reasons why Tampa going into this game has some advantages, their defense.
You know the football culture. You got to sell to your players once a week. This game is everything. The NBA has never been the same. If you go to the YMCA, you can tell the best team. You know who's going to win those teams. So the NBA, we've got dynasties. Golden State, when they had Durant, Steph, Clay, you know, they were 500 after the All-Star break the second year. Then they swept in the finals. That's not the NFL culture. But I said Kansas City's a little bit of that, where first 8 weeks, 5 blowouts, lose to the Raiders, destroy Buffalo, destroy the Jets. And then all of a sudden you watch the last 6 or 7 weeks, and it's like, Trent, they kind of buried some of the playbook. They punted 10 times in their last 2 weeks. They punted once the entire playoffs. I've never used flipped a switch for football. I've never even thought about it. But I watched them dismantle Buffalo. And I think to myself, are they hiding stuff? Are they burying the playbook? Like, what am I watching? What are you watching?
I think there might be some of that. I think what happened with Kansas City, and I think I've said this a few times on this show, their floor is just so high. Like, they don't have to play their best football to still beat people, which is scary. I think there's when that happens and you know you're that good, because they know they're that good, I think a little complacency might have set in. And then they were able in game to flip the switch, which I haven't seen a lot of in the NFL. And I think Andy did a great job pointing that out, making sure they understood when they got in the playoffs, they can't lollygag around for 9, 10, 12 minutes in a game and then flip the switch. So there's probably, taking care of that complacency and making their heightened awareness for the playoffs is probably what you're seeing. The Chiefs are remarkable in this way. They can do things that are unconventional, that can look as if it's a little sloppy, maybe unsound, and still be dominant. They have more horsepower than any offense I've seen, probably going back to the greatest show on turf with Kurt Warner and that group, or maybe the Randy Moss year in New England. I mean, the amount of horsepower they have on this offense is one of, five in the history of football. So I think they know that. So at times they don't execute at the highest levels. But when they're dialed in and they're execution-driven and precision-driven, it's scary. I mean, I don't have the vocabulary to explain it.
So you've been dealing with quarterbacks forever. And I was defending Brady today. I said, Aaron Rodgers didn't get drafted by a major league team in high school. Aaron Rodgers had to go to a junior college. Brady got drafted by a baseball team. He went to Michigan. His body never gets hurt. He's had one injury. Like, he's got a pro athlete's body. Like, you don't play at 6'4 and a half, 225 for 22 years and have one injury. And I watched him throw yesterday. Trent, I think Brady's arm is good. I don't even think, I mean, not for an old guy. I mean, I think he still makes elite throws.
Good. I think it's great. I mean, it's the piercing throws. So anything that he can step into and throw within 30 yards, it's fantastic. Zero flaws in it. I think the only areas he's gotten older, and he's never been great at this, but as he's gotten older, is the off-platform stuff. When he's forced to move from his platform, when his feet aren't right, that's when you see some minor flaws. They're not big deals, but they're minor flaws. The second interception when he's getting blitzed and he kind of jumps in the air and tries to throw it to Evans down the right side. That shows that he still needs his base to make big, powerful throws.
Yeah.
Physically, he's amazing. We talked about this before. Emotionally, the moral authority that he brings to a team is unquantifiable. I think we talked about this in October. This was going to take time. But they lost those back-to-back games and they got into the bye week. And that's one more week where Tom's voice could be heard at a louder level, could be amplified a little bit more. And then he had other moral authority leaders in the locker room like Sue, like Pierre Paul, other veterans that could help him amplify his message. And if you just go back and do a statistical analysis of the boring stuff, field position, turnover margin, time of possession, takeaways, all the things that matter for a football team, this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team is phenomenal, and I give a lot. And Bruce Arians gave a lot of credit. Tom Brady said it only took one man. And truly, in this scenario, you go post bye week, and I can't imagine what was said in that locker room that week, but everybody listened. His voice was amplified. He backed it up on the field, and they're the hottest team in football.
It's funny. One of the things, when I watch a football game, I'll take notes because I don't want to forget stuff. And one of the notes I wrote down in the first half, and I wrote it down for the final play, I thought Tampa's play design was pretty darn clever. Now, we know Andy Reid does this, but even that final sweep of the game, I've watched every snap for Tampa for the last month, and that final sweep to Godwin when he came in motion, and the Green Bay is all jammed on the line thinking there's going to be a short run, maybe play design is overrated. But I will tell you, when I watched Tampa yesterday, I'm like, I'm not sure it's Tom. I'm not sure it's Bruce. I'm not sure it's Leftwich. I thought they were clever. Who gets credit for that?
Well, two things. Play design is not overrated. Don't buy into that. That's probably a bad coach that doesn't have the creativity that's texting you on the side saying, oh, we all call the same plays. Not true. There's a definite discrepancy in the sophistication of some play callers over others. Formations go into that. But the secret sauce is when you call those plays. And I think you're talking about Bruce Arians, one of the great play callers of all time, who's now trained Byron Leftwich. Both are incredible play designers, and their timing for those types of plays. And now that they have Tom Brady, so it's really a three-headed monster, obviously. You have three great brains designing plays and then talking about when they're called. And I think the combination of play design and timing of when you call it is what separates the greats from the goods in offensive football. And you're seeing now in the Super Bowl two of the all-time great head coaches doing it, two great coordinators doing it, the greatest quarterback that's ever done it, and an absolute freak show in Patrick Mahomes doing it.
Trent Dilfer, as always, Trent, have a great Monday. Thanks so much.
Thanks, brother.
Yeah. By the way, Alex in the back, get that piece of video. I just thought, again, we don't think about it, final play. I hadn't seen Tampa use that all year. They save it for the entire game. It's at the very end of the game. Tampa Bay puts Chris Godwin in motion, quick pitch. He's got a full head of steam. He goes to the sidelines and slides, and the game's over. And I'm like, they've been saving that thing for a month. You know, Damian Woody's a friend of mine, works at the other place, and he said when he used to play for New England, he said, we would practice trick plays and weird stuff for years. Like, you'd go a year, and you're like, oh, we don't have to do this again. Coach, we don't use this. And he goes, and all of a sudden, it's a you're playing a random game, week 13, you need a play. We didn't practice it that week, but we had the you pull it out. But the patience it takes to have a really clever play, you know how, like, some people, you give them a $20 bill and it burns a hole in their pocket. Like, having a trick play is like having a hundy in your pocket and saying, don't spend it for 2 months. I think there's an emotional discipline to not using your tricks until the perfect time to use them. And I thought Tampa a couple times yesterday, really smart play design and the use of those plays. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Bills came up short in their first AFC championship game in 27 years. Josh Allen is confident this is just the beginning for this Buffalo team. He said, it's going to fuel us. I've got no doubt in my mind that we'll be back. This is a team that fought hard until the end, a team that loves each other. We're still young, and we're only going to get better. We're close.
He's absolutely right. I think they need a defensive lineman and an offensive lineman. Other than that, I like everything.
Stephon Diggs stood by himself on the sideline and watched the Chiefs celebrate their win. He was the last Bill out there watching, kind of absorbing everything. He had 6 receptions for 77 yards in the game. Showing the video of him now.
Chiefs secondary was amazing.
They were great.
Amazing.
They were great yesterday. I will say, though, when it comes to the Bills, obviously, they are a team. There's teams sometimes you feel like they lost, and it's like, well, that was it. Like, it's kind of how I feel about the Saints. Like,
it's over for a while.
It's going to be over
Atlanta
for a while.
Atlanta lost the Super Bowl. You're kind of like,
That was it. That was your moment.
Shanahan's leaving.
It's now past.
Right.
And now, the Saints, I think, are in a slightly better situation because they still have a lot of great players. But Drew Brees is going to likely be done. And then, you know, is Taysom Hill the guy? Is it Jameis Winston? Is it a hybrid situation of the two of them? Who knows? But it does feel a little bit like that window has closed significantly since the Saints lost. I don't feel that way about the Bills.
Yeah.
But they need a couple more pieces, and the big moment stuff has to come out for Josh Allen. He had an incredible season, right? And he had some great playoff games as well. But, man, there were some times yesterday where I'm like, what are you doing?
Well, they don't have a run game, so I think they have to – if I'm them, I'd probably draft another running back. I'd upgrade the offensive line. The defense isn't great. Ed Oliver was drafted. Their defensive front doesn't quite get the consistent pass rush. Some of their defensive linemen, though, are young. But they're one of those teams that I think they got about 80% of it right. They got to get a little better running the football. And I thought Kansas City's pass rush yesterday was unbelievable.
They were active.
By the way, the two most uncomfortable quarterbacks this weekend were Aaron Rodgers and Josh Allen. The two uncomfortable quarterbacks lost.
Well, also, Josh, like, throw the ball away.
Yeah, he tends to be a play extender.
I mean, you just, like, you cannot take 30-yard sacks. It's just throw it away.
That Big Ben quality.
It is. And yeah. I was thinking that one of those moments. I'm like, he's so big. It's almost like he feels like he's being disrespected by getting sacked. Like, he's like, I know, like, I can stay up. Like, no, dude, yes. Get rid of the ball.
Yeah. He really is a young Big Ben.
He is.
But yesterday also, Joy, like Big Ben. He took some shots. Like, dude, I know you're 6'7".
No, it's a...
It's a skill. Get rid of it.
You say it all the time. Like, if you have a good voice, you want to sing all the time. Like, if you have a big body, you want to take advantage of that. But, like, right. You should play like you're smaller, actually,
yeah.
For self-preservation. And you're not going to put yourself in situations where you're taking a zillion-yard sack.
Big Ben and Cam are falling apart at the end of their career physically. Why? Because that self-confidence of a 6'6 frame that I can take shots, like, to your point, play like you're a smaller guy. Get rid of it.
Well, they are in a good situation that they were able to
Andrew
keep
Luck's
Brian
another guy.
Dable for another year. So Matthew Stafford and the Lions have mutually agreed to part ways. Stafford reportedly approached management after the season and told them he believes it's time for him to move on. They agreed, and they are set to begin trade discussions with interested teams in the coming weeks.
Colts?
According to Fox Bet, the Colts are favored to land Stafford in a trade. Tied with in second place is the Niners and Broncos at plus 300. Then the Saints have the fourth best odds, plus 450. And the Patriots at plus 550.
Well, you could get a first. Is Matt Stafford worth a first?
Yes.
Probably. Okay. Well, the Colts, I mean, I know Chris Ballard well enough. He gave away a first for DeForest Buckner. It was a home run. Like,
you know how I feel about draft picks. Well, so my answer, if you're looking for a solid quarterback who has potential, who you've seen be able to come back, he's had big comeback moments. He doesn't have a signature win, but it's also the Lions. Like, let's keep it in perspective here. I don't really love Matthew Stafford, but I think part of my evaluation of him is the situation that he's been in for a while. So do I think the Colts are a great situation? Yes, but I honestly believe any above average quarterback at this point is going to thrive in the Colts situation. It's a plug and play go.
This is a perfect divorce. The Lions view Stafford as a savior. He's not. And Stafford continues to wait for them to get their stuff together, and they can't.
Right.
So it's time. By the way, if the Colts gave up a first-round pick to get Stafford, the truth is Ballard, unless he has a top five or six pick, is one of those GMs. He'd rather have second and thirds that are cheaper because they've had great success drafting. So, I mean, their two best rookies last year, Jonathan Taylor, the running back, and Michael Pittman were second-round guys. So, Colts, to me, give the first-round pick up. Your roster has – you probably need a left tackle and another receiver. It's a good roster.
I don't love him with the Niners, Broncos, or the Saints. The Patriots is interesting.
Now, that's interesting.
Although I'm hearing that it's probably – they're looking at Mac Jones – which I don't love for the Patriots. I don't know. I think the Colts is the best situation. I don't see the Niners at all.
Yeah.
Not for Matthew Stafford. So also this weekend, Conor McGregor and Dustin Poirier met for the second time in UFC 257. McGregor won their first bout in 2014, but Poirier came out strong and confident on Saturday night. He got an early takedown in the first, then he held his ground against McGregor's strikes. And then in the second round, he bothered McGregor with some leg kicks before throwing the punches that ended up in a shocking knockout win. McGregor looked
older.
Older.
He did. Didn't have the stamina quite.
I mean, Poirier just came out on fire. He's now in position to fight for the lightweight title, so that'll either be against Khabib if he chooses to return or another top contender. But
this is not an old man sport.
It's not, that's the thing about UFC. Everyone loses, right? Unless you're Khabib. But everyone loses. So when you do lose, it looks so
bad. And also, you got your Irish whiskey. You got a ton of money. You're a celebrity. Dude, stop taking punches. Go have a life.
He says he wants to do boxing now, and I don't know. He is one of the greatest sellers of fights in the history of not just MMA, boxing as well.
Great.
He's an incredible personality to sell fights.
He's not that competitive in this fight. He wasn't very competitive against Khabib, but
it only works if you like win some of them.
Yeah, it's over. I mean, he could still fight for a long time, but like his legacy's pretty cool. Move on. He's going to sell that whiskey company for $250 million. He'll be good.
It's very hard to continue wanting to get punched in the face when you're making so much money outside of the ring.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
It's official. There have been four different examples, and you come up with about the same number every time. What is Tom Brady worth in terms of wins? We now know. We'll talk about that coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Everybody wants to keep their home and family safe. Break-in, fire, flooding, medical emergency. SimplySafeColin.com. Get free security camera with it. SimplySafe.com/Colin. So here's that play, by the way. But before you roll it, don't roll it yet. We were talking about this. It's one thing to have a play design. It's another to pull it out at the perfect time. You don't want to use your trick plays too early. So I haven't seen Tampa run this before, but it's so smart. It's a late Chris Godwin, smart kid. He goes in motion very late. He's got full speed. It's 3rd and 5. Here's the game, right? Get a first down, game over. Watch this play. Perfectly designed. Green Bay's caught flat-footed. They bring it out on the perfect play of the game. He slides, game over. But you can see, everybody pulls. I haven't seen them. I've been watching, like the rest of you, I've been watching Tampa Bay games all year. Maybe they use it earlier in the year. But it's just a great play call. Perfect design. Look at the Packers. They're just outnumbered. They don't have as many guys. They're just not ready to play. They're all jammed up in the box. Left side, quick motion. Flip it to Godwin, a burner. First down. I love that. I just love that. So I was thinking about this. Tom Brady now has more wins since turning 35 than any quarterback ever has in his career. That's what my staff said. I still don't believe it. It's incredible. So playoff wins, by the way, playoff wins. So we can put the New England system crap to bed. Okay, it doesn't exist. It's nonsense. It was always nonsense. He's great. That's not to say that, you know, systems don't help. I think everybody's got a little bit of a system. But there is now a clear, indisputable effect that Tom Brady leaves or comes to your team. There's a number. What is he worth? Not points per game, but wins per season. There's no evidence Mahomes is worth what I'm about to tell you. So 4 different times with Tom Brady. So Patriots, he's the non-starter. They win 5 games. He starts, they win 14. He's worth 9 wins, same roster. And then remember, he gets hurt 2007-2008. They win 18. He gets hurt, doesn't play. They win 11. He's worth 7. And then this year, 12 wins 2 years ago, lost to Tennessee in the playoffs. He leaves, they win 7. That's 5. Don't ask me how they won 7 games this year. I don't know. And then the Buccaneers, 7 wins. Now they've got 14, maybe 15. Add them up, folks. 9, 7, 5, 7. That's 7 wins a year. We've got 4 examples. Tom's worth 7 wins a year. There is no evidence Mahomes is worth that. Okay, the Saints went 8-1 the last 9 games without Breeze. 8-1. Literally, almost no effect. 4 examples. Tom's worth almost half a season of wins. I mean, if you go look at this Tampa team, Bruce Arians was here last year. Todd Bowles was here last year. They were highly productive on offense. It was just a matter of cutting down on the mistakes. And this was a turbulent season. They were awful. They got destroyed by New Orleans once. They were awful on Thursday Night Football against the Bears. They got destroyed later in the season by the Saints. And then they have bye weeks. You know, as Trent Dilfer said, the voice of Brady, you know, just kind of this systematic chamber of Brady preaching this system. And I think when I look at this, there are certain arguments you can no longer make in sports. Wayne Gretzky is the best hockey player ever. You sound stupid arguing it. If you took away, I think, what's the stat? Like, you took away his goals, he would still have the most points ever on assists or something. I mean, it's just like, okay, he's the best player ever. There's nobody really close to Gretzky. Stop arguing. It's the same thing now with Brady. Like, let's stop. He has more playoff wins since 35 than any other quarterback ever. That's like Manning, Marino, Elway, Aikman. He's worth 7 wins a year.
Has anyone ever more convincingly won a divorce?
I mean, this is literally, she divorces the husband. She ends up marrying Elon Musk, and he lives out of his car. I mean, this is like not close. This isn't even...
It's dramatic.
It's dramatic. And this is the first year of the divorce. Remember, the first year in any system is clunky. And this was turbulent. More than once, it was turbulent. More than once, we did a Monday show, and we're like, Okay, I think they'll be a wild card team.
Yeah, they might need a little more time. Next year they'll be there.
Brady's yelling at everybody. He's a cranky old man in the hardware store. This isn't going to work. But, I mean, the Saints were 8-1 without Breeze, and Breeze, the first ballot Hall of Famer. Like, Tom's worth 7 wins a year. I don't see evidence any player, history of the games, ever been worth that. All right, Jimmy Johnson, one of my faves, Hall of Famer. He'll be joining us Hour 3 live in L.A. It's The Herd.